Blog Talk Radio.
Broadcasting to the world.
Hello.
It's the Ron Kelly Show.
Hey, yes.
The news you want.
Is the perception still that a black man with a gun is a criminal?
With the topics you need.
Marching might have been good for back in the day, but what kind of effectiveness is marching have on society today?
The Ron Kelly.
Black males 18 to 24 years old have highest homicide offending rate.
4 p.m. Eastern Standard Time and 1 p.m. Pacific. It's the Ron Kelly Show.
So don't get it twisted. Get it twisted.
On blogtalkradio.com.
Good morning, everybody. We are back and better than ever. It's the Ron Kelly Show. And however you're listening, however you're listening to the program, I want to thank you this morning for joining me. It's the 50th anniversary of the March on Selma, and the president gave a great speech yesterday and walked across the bridge with Representative John Lewis and others who were there 50 years ago in 1965. Coming up on the Ron Kelly Show. Also, another black man, young man, 19 years old, another young African-American, well, I promise I wouldn't use that word, African-American, who was slain by police in Wisconsin. We'll talk about that as well. And the people up there up in arms, understandably so, but where do we go from here? Now what? Are we going to just sit around like we, not sit around, but what's going to happen now? How do we stop this? How do we stop the unnecessary killing of black men by police? Not on black men. How do we put this to an end? We'll talk about that a little bit later on. And also, the Week in Review, all the other news and nonsense that went on between this show and last show right here on the Ron Kelly Show. Don't forget to check out my homeboy, Lamont Gates. This afternoon it's Lamont Gates, and his show is called Real Social Talk Radio. I believe it's 2:30 this afternoon. Lamont Gates on his program right here on blogtalkradio.com. Lamont won't be here today. Maybe he'll surprise you. I don't know. He won't be here today. He's doing work on his show, but I want you guys to all check out him this afternoon after my show. It's this afternoon, 2:30. It's Real Social Talk with Lamont Gates. All right, everybody, with the 50th anniversary of the March on Selma. You know, and 50 years ago was not that long ago. 50 years ago, as you can see from the film clips and all, that people were being hosed down and dogs sicked off. So, you know, dogs set upon by big, giant German shepherds and all types of stuff, the hoses, and you see the folks holding on. And, you know, and the point is that this wasn't that long ago. It wasn't that long ago that black folks were set upon by police officers wielding batons, being beaten in the street. You know, the Reverend Martin Luther King jailed just 50 years ago. So we're not talking about the 1800s when slavery and all of this type of nonsense was going on. We're talking about 50 years ago, 1965, when many of us were alive at that time. Representative John Lewis, who walked with President Obama yesterday, was on that bridge, and they showed pictures of him when he was younger. And he had a ringside seat to all that was going on down there in Selma, Alabama at the time. So we're not talking about years and years and years ago. We're talking about like last week and comparatively to the span of time. This wasn't that long ago, you know. And so President Obama was down there with his wife and his two daughters. He gave a speech. I didn't hear the speech, but I understand from what I've been told that President Obama gave a great speech on the bridge, and you can see the film clips of the president walking across the bridge with the folks who were there in Selma the years ago. Now, this is something that we have to take a look at, because once again, it wasn't that long ago that we were there. 50 years ago was not a long time. So yesterday, former President Bush also was there at the bridge in Selma, the Edmund Pettus Bridge in Selma. Now, President Obama, speaking yesterday at the foot of the Edmund Pettus Bridge, placed Selma in the pantheon of historical sites, Concord, Gettysburg, and Kitty Hawk. Or some of the Kitty Hawk, you know, where the Wright brothers invented the airplane. Gettysburg, where the Constitution was scripted. And then the president with his wife and his daughters there, walked hand in hand across the bridge with, as I said earlier, Representative John Lewis, who was there, was a young man at the time, who was there 50 years ago with the bloody civil rights confrontation that actually, they say it has transformed America, but I just don't see that. Former President George Bush and some other dignitaries and activists were there as well. Now, it was a poignant moment for the president, who has traced the events on Bloody Sunday in 1965 to raising the nation's conscience and changing voting laws. And a little bit later on in the program, we'll get into why the GOP won't restore the Voting Rights Act. John Lewis has been floating a bill to restore the Voting Rights Act, and the GOP says no. We'll get into that in a little bit on the Ron Kelly Show. Now, the phone number here, before I go any further, I should give you some contact information, that the phone number here is 347-426-3214. That's 347-426-3214. You can check me out on the Facebook page also, the Ron Kelly Show. I'm on Twitter, the Ron Kelly Show. And you can get at me in a variety of ways. But the phone number here to the radio station is 347-426-3214. Now, Lewis, 75 years old, he was 25 at the time of the Bloody Sunday, as it's been called, and got a cracked head, cracked skull. They cracked his skull. Representative Lewis, his skull was cracked by a racist police officer in Selma 50 years ago. The state troopers and the filthy racist sheriff, Jim Clark, used billy clubs and tear gas against the activists as they attempted to march to Montgomery for the right to vote. We didn't even have the right to vote 50 years ago. That wasn't that long ago. Didn't have the right to vote. Black folks not have the right to vote 50 years ago. Now, let that marinate for a minute. Let that resonate with you. Black folks did not have the right to vote 50 years ago. That's startling to absorb that. That 50 years ago, black folks did not have the right to vote. And were beaten and set upon by vicious German shepherds in water hoses because they wanted to vote. Disrespected, set upon with dogs, beat to death in many cases because we didn't want the right to vote. And white folks didn't want to give it to us. Yesterday, the temperatures were around in the 60s, and thousands of people packed downtown Water Street in Selma and were stretching away from the stage at the bottom. The stage that was set up for the president is at the bottom of the Edmund Pettus Bridge. Now, here's what the president said. He said, there are places and moments in America where this nation's destiny has been decided. And many of the sites are sites of war, ironically enough. That was me. All others are sites that symbolize the daring of America's character, Independence Hall, Seneca Falls, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Selma is such a place. So the president is saying that Selma is a significant place, holds a significant position in American history, which it does. It does. Because it symbolizes, you know, the relationship between blacks and whites just 50 short years ago. And I don't mean to be redundant, everyone, but it's stunning to absorb that we 50 years ago, black folks did not have the right to vote in many of our lifetimes. Uh, The president attempted to draw a direct line from the past to the present and the future by addressing such sensitive issues as recent racial clashes in Ferguson, Missouri, and political disputes over renewing the Voting Rights Act that Selma helped deliver. And I said it a little bit earlier that the GOP and John Bonehead Boehner are resisting Representative John Lewis's bill that would restore the Voting Rights Act. Now, he rejected those who argued that there had been little real change in the past 50 years. So I guess I'm one of those people who has been rejected because I, too, feel that there has been little real change in the past 50 years. And no disrespect to the folks who gave their lives and who gave up their livelihoods in a lot of cases, their freedom, jailed, and et cetera, to push forward the rights for the black folks to have the rights to do what everybody else does. The president goes on to say, to deny this progress, this hard-won progress, our progress, would be to rob us of our own agency, our own capacity, our own responsibility to do what we can to make America better. He also rejected the notion that racism in America had been banished. We just need to open our eyes and ears and hearts to know that this nation's racial history still casts its long shadow upon us. It absolutely does. That I definitely agree with. The racism is alive and well in the United States of America, everyone. And there are some folks who, white folks, and I know some, who are I wouldn't say they're deniers, but they don't, since they don't practice racism, white folks kind of deny racism because they don't practice it. But I'm here to tell you, and I know some people, they might be listening to the program, and I don't mean to slant, you know, we need more of those type of people. We need more white folks to come aboard and support the efforts to make black folks as whole as anyone else. And I need to interrupt myself and everybody to say, there were some killings. Two people who died were white at Selma. You know, history seems to lose sight of that. That one of them was a minister, a white man who died at Selma that day. And then there were many, and there were plenty of white people who marched with black folk back then. So I don't mean to sound like white folks are not, you know, they're not down with us. Maybe not enough of them, but many of them voted. I mean, many of them pushed. Many of them were down with us and marched with us back then in Selma. And I tell you, they caught the real brunt, you know, because they were white. And the racist white police officers and the racist sheriff, Jim Crow, Clark, were probably even more angry with them because they were white and they were on the other side. How dare you? How dare you march for these N-words? How dare you? So they probably caught a little extra baton work because of what they were doing. But, again, I mean, I apologize for being so redundant in this case, but we are far, no disrespect to the president, President Obama, who I support. But, you know, I guess sometimes the president just has to say the right thing, but we are far and away. We've got a long, long way to go before we can push forward these causes. Because racism is you know, people, you know, I see little kids, I see little white kids occasionally when I'm out and I'm working, I see little white kids, and they wave, because little white kids don't see race. You know, little black kids don't see race. You know, see, racism is something that's taught. Racism is learned. And many of these folks, white folks and black too, many of the white folks grow up in households where racism is promoted. You see. And there are lots of people, especially the older ones, the older white folks who were around back in the day when racism was as common as drinking a cup of coffee, those folks are institutionally, they will never give up how they feel about black people. The 60 and over white crowds, many of them, not all, but many of them, will never, ever, ever give up how their feelings about black folk. You know, so these people have learned, these people, white folks have learned or were taught or were brought up in households where racism and the N-word was flaunted around regularly. Many of these folks will never give up their racist credo, so to speak. All right, baby, just a few minutes after 10 o'clock, you're listening to the Ron Kelly Show right here on blogtalkradio.com. It's every Sunday morning at 10 a.m., 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. right here. Let me see. Okay, I lost my track here for a second. All right. We're talking about the 50th anniversary of the March on Selma, and when after the break, we're going to talk about, we'll continue to talk about Selma throughout the program, and what we'll do is, after the break, we'll talk about this unarmed teen, 19 years old, whose house was entered by a police officer without permission, and the young man subsequently was shot down by this police officer, and this happened yesterday, or Friday, I believe, where this young man was killed by a police officer in Wisconsin. So we're going to talk about that, and we'll get the latest on what's going on with this. I did see a clip yesterday, and the police chief seems to be very conciliatory. That's the new thing now. They don't, they show sympathy. That's the new wave that's going around. The police officers, the chiefs, no, besides the Ferguson chief, the chiefs show sympathy for the young man. Now, this young man, Tony Robinson, was shot. Now, the first thing they do is they dirty the dead. Because there's on Smoking Gun, there's a story about this young man, Tony Robinson, who was convicted last year He was convicted last year for a role in an armed home invasion. So these people, you see, it all goes back to what I was saying earlier. No, we're going to get in. I'm not going to get into it too much right now, but this all goes back to what I was saying earlier about how, and it goes way, way back to Rudy Giuliani, who is the mayor of New York and a total clown, who released the juvenile records, which is illegal. Juvenile records are sealed, of the young man Patrick Dorismond, who did not have, a record, an adult record. He had a juvenile record. And Mr. Giuliani, on the side of the police, no matter what they do, the total idiot, went on and released the juvenile records of Patrick Dorismond. Patrick Dorismond was shot by the police over a parking space years ago when Rudy Giuliani was Gestapo of New York City. And he released the man's juvenile records, which were not supposed to be released. The juvenile records are regularly sealed. Everybody knows that. So here we go again. Now, Smoking Gun mentions that the shooting victim was convicted last year for a role in an armed home invasion. See, this is what I'm saying. People are going to jump on a bandwagon and justify these acts. So we're going to take a quick break, and we'll come back, and we'll talk about this young man, Tony Robinson. Phone number here is 347-426-3214. That's 347-426-3214. This is the Ron Kelly Show, and it's on blogtalkradio.com. Hello, everybody. Welcome back. It's the Ron Kelly Show. For a Sunday, it's March 8th, 2014. However you're listening, thank you, everybody, for joining me here on the Ron Kelly Show, presented by BurkettsPromotion.com. Really, really appreciate you guys for tuning into the Ron Kelly Show and being here over the years in various amounts over the years supporting me and my endeavor here on the Ron Kelly Show. And thank you, everybody, so much for that. And once again, don't forget, Lamont Gates is on 2:30 this afternoon. It's Real Social Talk. It's blogtalkradio.com/Real Social Talk Radio with Lamont Gates this afternoon at 2:30. All right, so we have another fatal shooting of an unarmed 19-year-old teen by a white officer who authorities say fired after he was assaulted. Here we go. Here we go. This is George Zimmerman with the uniform. And the shooting prompted protesters Saturday to take College Town streets with chants. And this is where the biggest piece of the University of Wisconsin is located. Now, the city's police chief says he understands the anger, and he assures demonstrators. He assures demonstrators that his department would defend their rights as he implored the community to act with restraint. Now, Tony Robinson, the young man's name, 19 years old, was killed Friday night after being shot in his apartment. Following a confrontation with Officer Matt Kenny, who had forced his way inside. After hearing a disturbance while responding to a call, authorities and neighbors said. Now, the chief, Mike Koval, says the officer was injured, but he didn't say how he was injured. And it wasn't clear whether Robinson, who died at the hospital, was alone. And he was unarmed. The chief readily admits that the young man was unarmed. And that's going to make this all the more complicated for the investigators, for the public to accept. You're damn right. Astute observation, Chief. Now, and as Robin said, Kenny would not have been wearing a body camera. Okay, so several dozen protesters who gathered outside the police department Saturday afternoon held signs and chanted Black Lives Matter. It's a slogan adopted by activists and protesters nationwide after recent officer-involved deaths of unarmed blacks before walking toward the neighborhood where the shooting took place. Now, this shooting, ironically enough, this shooting takes place seconds, comparatively speaking, after the Justice Department says they will not charge Darren Wilson with any civil rights violations. You know, so all right, so you can indict the department, which the Department of Justice has done. You can indict the department, but you can't indict an individual. Now, I just don't. Maybe because there's records, you know, they went through the records, they went through the tickets, and who was ticketed, and they were able to, through the records, the police records, were able to determine that 90% of the blacks were stopped for. Not stop and frisk kind of sort of while you're driving while black, et cetera, et cetera. 80% of black folks were ticketed. 78% of black folks were arrested, and the list goes on and on. Now, there are folks who have said to me, I've received some really nasty email and tweets from people who have said, hey, look, most of the people there are black, so what do you expect? And I don't expect 90% of the people who, I don't care if they were all black, 90% of them shouldn't have been stopped, 80% of them shouldn't have been arrested and harassed. And you only have four black officers on a force of 54 officers, only four of them are black. You know, what percentage is that, 2%? So this young man's shooting takes place just right after, not even, you know, a couple days after Officer Darren Wilson, former police officer, well, he was in a uniform anyway. Darren Wilson was, I wouldn't say he was exonerated, but by the DOJ, he was exonerated by the racist prosecutor who is running for office now. By the way, I guess he's going to run on the backs of that no conviction Darren Wilson. I guess he's going to run on the back of that. The prosecutor in Staten Island as well, the DA who did a horrible job on Eric Garner's case in Staten Island also is running for office. So I guess you get a cop off and run for office. I guess that's the new thing. That's the new thing now. But in any case, this happened just a few days after Darren Wilson it was decided by the Justice Department that Darren Wilson did not violate the rights of Michael Brown. So, and now the federal officials did, however, find patterns of racial profiling, as I said earlier, bigotry, profit-driven law enforcement, ticket quotas, in other words. Other high-profile deaths of black suspects at the hands of police have prompted nationwide protests, including aforementioned Eric Garner, who died last year after the New York City police officers put him in a chokehold, and you heard him saying he can't breathe. Now, what more? I mean, you got a video, you have a man saying he can't breathe, and they ignored it. And you see, now, this is a culture thing when you're talking about the police departments. You can't retrain as Bratton and Bill de Blasio, the mayor of New York City, have attempted to retrain. You can't retrain racists. Many of these police officers are racist. Many of them are. I mean, somebody showed a picture. I saw a picture of President Obama on LinkedIn and somebody with the caption, "Let's call a spade a spade." I mean, many of these police officers are racist. Let's not mince words here. Many of these police officers are straight up racist. Many of them. So you can't retrain a racist. If they're a racist today, they're going to be a racist tomorrow. And many cops are racist. Now, I know lots of white cops who I know personally who are not racist, who are good police officers, who abide by the law. Shout out to them. And the many others who I don't know who do live by the letter of the law and who obey the law no matter what they may be thinking inside. Then you have others who are incapable of doing that. So these police officers, many of them are racist, and you can't retrain. You can't change somebody from, a racist is a racist, and they can't be changed. They cannot be changed. So the chief of police over there in Wisconsin, in the town which is the state capital of Wisconsin, now this this police officer, he's been on the job for 12 years in Madison being the state capital of Wisconsin, also shot and killed a suspect in 2007. Now, this guy has a track record of killing people. But he was cleared, of course, of wrongdoing because it was a suicide by cop situation. In that shooting, Kenny responded to a 911 call of a man with a gun and shot the man twice after police said he pointed the gun at officers. It turned out to be a pellet gun. So this guy... This guy has a track record of killing people, this officer Kenny. Now, a 2014 Wisconsin law requires police to have outside agencies investigate officer-involved deaths after three high-profile incidents within a decade, including one in Madison, didn't result in charges, raising questions from the victim's family about the integrity of investigations. Now, prior to this 2014 law, the police officers were clearing themselves. And see, this is what happens. Now, I'm not trying to indict all police officers all across the country. I'm not trying to indict every police department. But when you have the opportunity to police yourself and punish yourself, then you're not going to do it. Hey, look, if I do something, let's say on the radio, for example, if I say the wrong thing or whatever, if I say the wrong thing and what do you think, punishment? What do you think I'm going to try to give myself? I'm going to do like we used to do when we were kids. You go outside, your mother say, go outside, get a switch. You're going to go like the smallest little switch you can find. And the police departments are getting the smallest little switch they can find so they can not prosecute. So they can not prosecute. All right, so this town has 243,000 people, and 7% of them are black. And what happened was Kenny went to the apartment and forced his way inside after hearing the disturbance. Told out, now the chief says that the officer fired after being assaulted by Robinson. One of Robinson's neighbors said Robinson would run between his apartment and the roommate's mother's house all across the street all the time, even in the middle of traffic. What does that have to do with anything? So now they're talking about this young man, 19 years old, who lost his life. Now they're talking about what he, you know, this conviction that he had allegedly last year. Now this is crap. This is crap. Now this young man lost his life, 19 years old. So here we have it, another case. Now, me, like many people, have no confidence in the justice system when it comes to police officers. The last police officer to be convicted of anything was 20 years ago, or better, with Abner Louima. That was the last time a police officer was convicted of anything. The police officers with Rodney King weren't convicted, Eleanor Bumpers. You know, you can go on and on and on and on and on. And the police officers never get convicted of a crime. So we have a culture in the police departments tells police officers they can get away with anything. And you can tell by the way some of them act. When they're out on patrol, you can tell a police officer when he's not in no uniform. He's got this kind of, you know, this kind of I'm the biggest dog on the block type of attitude, many of them. Not all. You know, some of them, again, are hardworking, dedicated to the cause, some of them. But then you have a lot of them who are out of control. Now, this is going to be a case where no one really saw what happened. It's his word against a man who can't speak anymore, who's dead. Who was in the apartment? Why did he force his way into the apartment? Was it a disturbance? All of these things are questions that have to be answered, and you know what's going to happen. An agency outside of Madison is still an agency in Wisconsin. And the police and the prosecutors work closely together, as I've said earlier on other shows prior to this one. The police and the prosecutors work hand in hand. They work together. They work together. They work together. So I think we kind of already know what's going to happen. We already know what's going to happen. This young man will not be convicted. This officer, rather, will not be convicted. He's not going to be convicted. All right, everybody, we're going to take a quick break. We'll come back. We'll talk about the rest of the nonsense that's going on in the week in review in just a few minutes, everybody. It's the Ron Kelly Show. It's on blogtalkradio.com every Sunday morning at 10 a.m. And we're thinking about changing the time. You know, and I'm really thinking about changing the time of the show. We did extremely well when the show was on at 4 o'clock. We did very, very well. But we've lost some listeners. We've lost some listeners after moving to Sunday morning. So, me and my crew, we're definitely considering putting the show back on during the week. So we'll let you know how that goes. The former Irvington Mayor, Wayne Smith, Irvington, New Jersey Mayor Wayne Smith, used to do a program called Inside Irvington. And I'm meeting with him, and we're going to see if we can get him to come on the show in Lamont Gates' absence, as his show is very, very close to my show, and he has things he needs to do to get his show together. And he was not always going to be able to come here, but you can check him out later on, 2:30, Lamont Gates, Real Social Talk Radio. All right, we'll take a quick break. We'll come right back with more. It's the Ron Kelly Show, and it's on blogtalkradio.com. All right, everybody, we're back. It's the Ron Kelly Show, 347-426-3214 is the number here. It's the Ron Kelly Show, and it's on Blog Talk Radio. For the moment, blogtalkradio.com. And definitely going to try to move the show to a better outlet, because Blog Talk Radio is garbage in regards to the technical problems we have here every week. It's one thing after another. I don't know if it's because there's so many shows that they may have to strengthen their capacity. I don't know if it's because there's so many shows that air here on blogtalkradio.com. I'm not sure what the problem is, but I definitely am looking for a better venue to promote the Ron Kelly Show. And it's annoying that it affects me, and it affects all of the hosts who have to deal with this nonsense every week. And I'm definitely looking for another venue to host a show on, because this one, blogtalkradio.com, is extreme garbage. And folks have complained to me and gotten at me on Facebook and Twitter and et cetera, and let me know that they're unable to get even log into the website many days, and they're not able to listen to the program. So the clock is ticking for blogtalkradio.com. I'm definitely going to be looking for another venue to air the show, because blogtalkradio.com is not working. All right, it's 347-426-3214. You have a comment, you have a question, you want to talk about this young man who was killed, Anthony Robinson, 19 years old, home was entered by a police officer who thought he heard a disturb. Oh, man, you know, this is going to be the biggest BS, you know, and this man, I can tell you right now, this man is not going to be convicted. This police officer, Kenny, is not going to be convicted. Why? Because none of the other ones have been convicted. It's a total joke. It's a joke. I don't know why they even go through the motions. Just let the guy go. Why waste the taxpayers' money on a trial and on investigations and all these type of things, grand jury testimony, et cetera, et cetera. And you know, the man is not going to be convicted. He's not. This is total garbage. And African Americans are no better off. And I beg to differ with President Obama. What they're doing is they're finding more better ways to do things, more subtle ways to do things. You understand what I'm saying? Racism is alive and well in America. I mean, you just can't, you know, you just can't be open about it anymore. It's still being done. Still as many racist acts being perpetrated daily as they were in the 1960s. They're just doing it behind the scenes, undercover. Undercover. I was sitting at a traffic light the other day, and it was a very, very long traffic light. I'm sitting there. It must have been about 3 or 4 minutes, and the person wanted to make a right turn. I wanted to make a left turn. I was the first car in the line, the first close to the traffic light, and the car goes around me. A young white girl in the backseat gives me the finger. I'm like, you little bitch. It gives me the finger. You know, looks up at me and gives me the finger. So what was I doing that was wrong? I didn't get that finger because I was under that light. I got the finger because I was black. But this is what I'm talking about. It's like institutionalized racism. Racism that goes on in homes and houses. You know, this is the kind of stuff that you can't. Yeah, you can retrain the police, but you can't retrain America. You can't retrain the entire country. And the Constitution says if you want to be a racist, you can be. You can't retrain the entire country. And see, this is the problem. Now, I'll get to the other news in a minute, but this is the problem. This is the problem. 50 little short years ago, you think in 50 years that things are going to change significantly? Heck no. Heck no. Things are not going to change. Things are not going to change significantly in 50 years. Yeah, be kidding me. And the president can, you know, we can say speeches and we can ring around a campfire and sing Kumbaya, but racism is see, because we think because we don't see it as much. Racism gets perpetrated on you and you don't even know it. When you go for a loan, when you go to get an apartment somewhere, when you apply for a job, it happens all the time. It happens all the time. So you get racism perpetrated on you, you don't even know it. You don't even know it. If you're an African, if you're a black person, past white person and they don't look at you, you know, don't even look at you. They don't even look at you. And I'm not talking about all white people, but sometimes you walk past a white person, I've done it many times, they don't even look at you. Like, you don't even exist. They don't even look at you. They look at you like, you know, and this goes for everybody, black, white, brown, green. You ever walk past a homeless person and not look at them because you feel guilty because they're homeless and they're laying on the street and there's nothing really that you do about it or nothing you, maybe tell them nothing you want to do about it? And so black folks are looked at the same way. They don't even look at us. Don't even make eye contact with you. They just walk past and just like you don't even exist. Like you're invisible. Now, how odd is that? Where people don't even make eye contact with you. Now, they saw that you're black. They've seen that already. And at that point, they decide not to, that's it. And they don't even look at you. Don't even make, and I watch them as they go past me. I watch them. And they don't make eye contact with you. Now, anybody drives past me, I'm making eye contact because I want to see what they're looking at. So these 50th anniversary of March on Selma, I'm not going to say that no progress has been made, but the progress has been made. Any progress that has been made by twisted arms. The progress has been made begrudgingly. If there's any progress that's been made in the last 50 years, it wasn't made because somebody wanted to do it. It was made because they felt like they had no choice. Or to placate us and say, all right, let's do this and get them all, shut them up. 50 years later, now you had the Voting Rights Act that was implemented in 1965. But now you have a Republican Congress that doesn't want to restore it. Or refresh it, or whatever it is that Representative John Lewis wants to do. They don't want to do it. Don't want to do it. And this is like the 50 years later after Selma, and we still have the GOP. Who doesn't want to restore the Voting Rights Act? Years later, after the Voting Rights Act has already been enacted, the GOP still doesn't want to, and this is part of the news of the week. This week, GOP lawmakers are trying to explain. Now, here we go. Dozens of members of Congress and many more Republicans than ever before came to Selma this week. Now, they were here to commemorate the 50th anniversary of the infamous attack on voting rights protesters, known as Bloody Sunday. Now, some lawmakers said the event highlighted the urgency of passing a currently languishing bill that would restore the full powers of the Voting Rights Act of 1965. Others showed no little interest in doing so. Senator Rob Portman, a Republican from Ohio, said it's been powerful to hear stories from Representative John Lewis and others who helped lead the Selma March more than 50 years ago. But when he was asked if he supports Lewis's voting rights bill, he said, "I haven't looked at it." You haven't looked at it? You know, now, Senator Portman, who has advocated for cuts for Ohio's early voting period, cut the money to help Ohio voters vote early, and voted against the National Voter Registration Act, voted against. He says he's quoted as saying this day is more about just tweaks in the vote to the Voting Rights Act. This is about ensuring equal justice and learning from lessons of the past. Oh, really? And see, these Republicans who were there were just there. They were there window dressing because the GOP doesn't want there to be a restoration of the Voting Rights Act. They don't want it because because Republican folks are mostly upwardly mobile white people. You got a smattering of blacks. The idiot Ben Carson, who I wouldn't want doing any operations on me. The pioneer, groundbreaking heart surgeon. No thank you. I let somebody else do it. No thank you. He proved himself to be a total idiot. They don't want it. Republicans were there for window dressing. They went scratching and clawing and kicking. They didn't want to go. Because they've always voted against anything that promoted the cause of minority causes. They don't want that. And again, you know, those voting rights, the Voting Rights Act is meant for minorities. It wasn't meant for white. White people didn't have to fight for voting rights. White people didn't have to fight for anything. Everything was given to them. How would have white folks had to go out and march for their rights? Never. Because they've always had them. It's minorities and black folk who've had to fight for their rights. So the voting rights, these things they do, ID laws, so most white people have ID already. Who doesn't have ID? Black people, minorities, Hispanics, and other folks, minorities, don't have ID, many of them. So these things are, these little things that the GOP is tossing out there are preventing minorities and African Americans, black people, from voting. See, because the GOP will stoop to any, you know, lower than the street curb to gain an advantage on the Democrats. They'll do whatever they have to do. It doesn't matter. They'll stoop as low as they have to in order to further their cause. So they show up, and no significant Republicans. Boehner wasn't there. Mitch McConnell, Trey Gowdy, some of the other more notable Republicans weren't there. Where was John Boehner? Wasn't there. Mitch McConnell. Ted Cruz. Some of the other more significant, some, you know, none of the Republican candidates, or the, not many, they've not all declared, but where were they? They weren't there. Talk about us, you know, we're not making no progress, in my estimation. We're not making any progress. Like I said, the white folks and race mongers have found better ways to perpetrate their agenda against us. They found better ways to do it. It's done behind the scenes. Black people being killed by police officers. Behind the scenes, when you go for a loan, when you try to get an apartment, how many times have you seen Seven on Your Side or some other consumer advocate piece on a newscast where you have a white person go to get the apartment, they get it. You have a black person or a Hispanic over there, they get turned away. The apartment has been taken. The apartment hasn't been taken. How many times do you see this? So there's other ways. Go for a job. Go for a car. You know. In many cases, you get a credit card. Just type that and the other. Has there been whatever? I can't say that no changes have been made, but whatever changes have been made at the battle of a gun. In other words. But I can't say no change has been made. Some have been made. But whatever's been made has been done begrudgingly. Nobody was smiling when it was done. You see the justice system, how African Americans, blatantly, I mean, all the time. Man, D.C., just wrongfully convicted, spent 22 years in prison. Went there when he was 18, was raped repeatedly, prisoners, and contracted the HIV virus from being raped by other prisoners when he was in prison. And, you know, and you hear about this all the time. So if there's one, there's 100. If there's two, there's 200. And so on and so forth of African-Americans who have been tried and convicted on bogus evidence, bad IDs, no DNA for those who may have been convicted prior to the advent of DNA evidence. Some folks were arrested and convicted before DNA came out. So they're still sitting in jail, many of them who probably could get out if they could afford to have, or they can get a judge to have a new trial, or at least, you know, have some of the evidence looked over again. But, you know, they're not going to do that because the judges, lawyers, prosecutors, they all come from the same stripe. So I say to anyone who thinks that no disrespect to Representative Lewis and the folks who have Martin Luther King and those who have fought for voting rights. I mean, the Voting Rights Act would not have come at all if it had not been for those folks. But 50 years ago, black people had to fight for voting rights? 50 years ago? It doesn't make any sense. All right, everybody, we're going to break out of here. Thank you so much for joining me today. It's the Ron Kelly Show here every Sunday morning. I'll keep you posted on where the show is going to wind up at. Just check it out on Facebook, and I'll let you know what's going on. Don't forget, Lamont Gates, 2:30, Real Social Talk Radio, on here on Blog Talk Radio, for the lack of a better word. com. All right, so we'll see you back here next week for another edition of the Ron Kelly Show presented by BurkheadPromotions.com. We thank you so much for joining the program today. And we'll see you back here next week with a possibly with Lamont Gates and a exciting program, another edition of the Ron Kelly Show. Until then, everybody, take care of yourself. Remember that it's nice to be important, but it's more important to be nice, and that we may not have it all together, but together we can certainly have it all. Thank you so much. I'm out of here.